wherever your focus is, that's going to be where your results come from. So if your focus is on negativity and you're thinking about how I could fail or how wrong this thing could go or how stupid I would look, what's likely going to happen is you're going to experience those results. Right. Or you're going to get through it and be like, wow, I was going through all that for nothing. Yeah. So it's exactly. It's unprofitable to have your focus on something that's negative because you're thinking about something that more than likely isn't even going to happen. Or if it does happen, it's like, you expected the worst outcome and it happened.
Yep. Yeah.
And so your focus needs to be on things. The word talks about meditating on things that are praiseworthy, things that are holy, things that are good, things that are of good report. So if the report of the Lord is that he has plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans for my future and for my hope, then for me, what I should focus on is the fact that he says he has a future for me.
Yo, what's up, Go Fam? I am super excited about this episode today. I have three lovely people with me, great friends of mine. Y'all might know them. Do we want to give another introduction? Have we done an introduction for season 3?
An introduction of like names?
Just in case like people don't know who
some folks might know, but if they don't know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It sounded like you were about to go.
I thought you were going to go too.
I was, but I changed my mind.
Okay. Wow. I'm Michelle Obama.
Excuse me.
I want to present to you my lovely wife.
This is a false statement. This couldn't be more false.
No.
I happen to be Barack.
Oh, that's wow. That's inappropriate.
I'm so sorry. If there's first time business, I'm like, what is this?
They're
like,
not my president.
What kind of podcast is this?
Not my president.
I clicked on this because they were talking about focus. This seems very distracting.
Very out of focus.
But no, go ahead.
Ren Roberts Headley.
Yes.
Yes, I am Ty Headley.
I am Michaela Moore.
I'm Isaiah Roberts. And we are Generation One. That was so like Power Rangers. Anyway, contrary to what you might believe, we're talking about focus today, okay? So let's get straight into it.
Let's do it.
And we're going to be real honest, okay? We're not always all like focused on the Lord and things like that. There's other things in life, careers, you know, family, all this kind of stuff. So looking at your life right now, what do you feel like you are most focused in or focused on?
Just coming out like that.
Out the gate. Let's get into it.
You love to like start saying things and then toss it to somebody.
I want to give the benefit of the doubt. Okay, I'll go. I would say, to be honest with you, my focus does shift when I feel like it needs to. So right now, I'd say my biggest focus as I've stepped into this year is stepping into my entrepreneurial side. So I started my business this year, and a lot of my focus has been directed towards that, towards making sure that I'm focused on what it takes to start a business, to build a team, to develop systems and structures, to make sure my banking is in order. So all of those different things require a certain degree of focus. Now, the part I said about the balancing is I also have a full-time job. So that requires the same amount of focus as it does for me starting a business. So I have to know how to flow in my focus. My focus is a flow. I can't just be focused so much so on one thing that I let the other thing die, essentially, or let the other thing down. Yep. So there are moments where I fall short, and that's why focus is so, so, so important. So I think my focus does change from time to time. There are moments where I have to be super focused on my marriage and on the time that we spend together. So I think my focus changes, but when I am very locked in on something, I honestly try my absolute best to be as locked in as I can be on that very thing, but distractions still come.
True.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, to be completely honest, I think that I am working on getting my focus back, because I think that having a lot of life circumstances that have hit, you know, hit both of us at the top of this year, I feel like it's been getting, I've been working on getting myself back to a place of focus, because they're, you know, a lot of times life will demand things from you, whether it is being a supportive family member, being a supportive wife, getting that work done. And those are legitimate responsibilities. But I think one thing that God is really dealing with me on right now is, even though in the midst of, you know, things that are outside of my control are happening, like, if you're not focused and locked in on, I think I may have said in another podcast, but if you're not locked in on the word that he gave you, like, it is, you know, it can be a distraction. Even things that are legitimate can become distractions if you give all of your focus to it. Like, you have to at some point remember, like, who you are and what God spoke to you. And then, you know, so like, you deal with it, but you have to get back in. So I am starting to get back to a place of focus, yeah, if I'm honest. So my focus has kind of been, it's been a little bit scattered, I would say, recently. Yeah.
I can go if you
I feel like I'm focused on, honestly, probably too many things, to be honest. I think I was talking, was it you and somebody, but I was saying, like, sometimes I feel like I give focus to, like, 25% of something and then, like, 25% here. And then I realize, or, like, you know, and then another 25 and another 25 for all my math scholars. But I feel like I always get, like, halfway done with something and then, like, don't finish it. And so right now I feel like God's been saying, go back to those things that you haven't finished and focus on those so that, you know, what I asked you to do gets completed instead of just, like, halfway and, like, feeling like you're, like, moving along but not really getting anything done. It's just, like, I don't know, it feeds, like, that temporary, oh, I'm successful, I'm doing something. So, really, you know, right now I would say that I'm focused on myself, my physical health, me and Tyra in the gym. Almost daily.
We in the gym. Like,
we're
like
going
that.
Crazy.
We like that.
That's a big part of it.
You're going to see us.
Mentally, I'm trying to read more books, so that's what I'm focused on.
That's good.
Listening to more podcasts that aren't just like the regular, like, you know, faith based ones, but like stuff that's gonna expand my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know more about business, about science, about health. So that's what I've done. Physical, spiritual. Obviously, you know, I'm always gonna be in my word. Like, that's probably my biggest focus, and then my passion. So, like, you know, my music, you know, this kinds of stuff. So I feel like those are the four that I'm really trying to hone in on right now. But I have a, I don't know how much I'm going to say, but there's a lot of music about to come out. So I'm excited about that. That's been a big focus of mine. But yeah, trying to balance out all those. And then, yeah, the distractions that come with that. I feel like when you decide that you're going to, like, really lock in on something, expect a lot of things to try to take you away from that, you know. It could be social media, it could be friendships that aren't, you know, right. It can be anything. So it's but we'll get more into that.
You know what's funny? I literally posted a video end of last year, and going back to what you said about, like, as soon as you, like, lock into something, distractions come. I had posted a video end of last year that was legitimate. Like, I was in a groove where I was on my disciplines, and I was like, I'm going to make a video about it, or I'm talking about my daily routines, and, like, I'm doing all this. And literally a thought entered my mind, and I think it was the Holy Spirit, and it was like, as soon as you post this, just know that there's going to be a test that comes with it. And I was like, okay, but I'll be ready. Like, all right, I know that that's going to happen, because as soon as you put it out there, the devil's like, oh, you're really focused? Okay, let me throw this your way. And it got me. But I think as soon as I recognized that, I was like, okay, yeah. Like, it was a crazy start. It was a crazy start of the year. But I was like, all right, I have to get back to that, because when you put something out there, like, yes, it can be tested, but it's also accountability, because I'm like, okay, I started this, and I'm now, and, like, I was trying to create a trend and a track, you know, amongst my peers and amongst the people that I know look up to me. So if I fall off completely, like, what, you know, I'm not a good leader. I'm not a good example and representation. And that's not to say you have to be perfect and get it right 100%. But I think the beautiful thing about it, about putting it out there, is that you will have that accountability.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm like, you know, they're scrolling through and they're like, yeah, when did that? You said you were going to do that. And when did that? I'm like, oh, wow. I lied. So, yeah, no, it'll get tested as soon as you put it out there.
Yep.
I think recently God, like, let me know that a lot of my focus was on, like, failing and, like, what ifs, so much so that, like, it didn't allow me to, like, focus on the present. So that's something I'm working on, just being present in whatever moment I'm in. And then just having, yeah, like, spending too much time focusing on failing or the what ifs. I'm honestly just setting myself up to fail, or, like, I'm just setting myself up for failure. Cause that goes for, like, my work, my personal, whatever. It was always like, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to get it wrong. You know what I mean?
That's
and it's
so
like,
good.
That's not where your focus needs to be. Yeah. Even if you do get it wrong, you know what I mean? Like you'll eventually get it right. But, mm-hmm. and then it also just takes me out of being present in my relationships, in my work mm-hmm. projects, or even like in things like this, you know what I mean? It just takes me out of being present. So yeah, he's been shifting my focus with mm-hmm. that.
For sure.
Can I ask you a question? So when you're saying that like sometimes you can tend to focus on failure, is that like an attempt to try to like see how you won't fail?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Because like, I feel like, oh, go ahead.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I can do that as well. And I feel like a lot of people, we kind of rehearse like the worst possible outcome so that we can try to figure out, okay, how do I make sure that doesn't happen?
Right.
But the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think about those failures, oftentimes yeah. we can actually align ourselves with that thought
exactly.
versus the positive thing.
Exactly.
So yeah, is there anything else that you wanted to say to
no.
that?
Mm-mm.
But no, I'll add it on that too, because when you are, wherever your focus is, that's going to be where your results come from.
Absolutely.
So if your focus is on negativity and you're thinking about how I could fail or how wrong this thing could go or how stupid I would look,
yep.
what's likely going to happen is you're going to experience those results
right.
mm-hmm.
in some way, shape, or form. Or you're going to get through it and be like, wow, I was going through all that for nothing.
Yeah.
So it's unprofitable exactly. to have your focus exactly. on something mm-hmm. that's negative because you're thinking about something that more than likely isn't even going to happen. Or
right.
if it does happen, it's like, yeah, you expected the worst outcome and it happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so your focus needs to be on things. The word talks about meditating on things that are praiseworthy, things that are holy,
yeah.
things that
yeah.
are good, things that are of good report. So if the report of the Lord is that he has plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans for my future
right.
and for my hope,
yeah.
then for me, what I should focus on is the fact that he says he has a future for me.
Yep. Right,
so I can't
right.
fail. And even
exactly.
if I do
right.
fail,
that
in
part.
This loss is a lesson
that
and there's
part.
Something that I'm actually going to get from it. So
yeah.
you have to have your focus so locked in on whatever it is that God has said or whatever it is that God is instructing you to do that you don't allow room for the enemy.
Yeah. yeah.
And this is the tricky thing. When you commit to focusing and locking in on something, you have to expect that that is when the enemy is going to come and test
for
it.
Sure.
And sometimes God will even allow him to come and test it because
right.
he's like, are you really going to be
yeah.
a man of your word, a woman of your word? Are you really going to be locked in and focused on this thing? Because what does the enemy come to do? To steal, to kill,
mm-hmm.
and to destroy. He is stealing your focus.
Mm-hmm.
He is killing your progress. And the ultimate thing is destruction. And what can he destroy? Your assignment.
Right.
Don't let the enemy steal your focus, kill your progress, and ultimately destroy your assignment. Because if
yeah.
he does that, then now what do you have? Because our goal here on this side of heaven is to walk out the works that God has prepared beforehand in Christ
yeah.
Jesus. He's already prepared them.
Right.
And he just needs us to focus on them
yep.
so that we can fulfill them. But that's where the enemy tries to come in and distract us
yep.
yeah.
so that
yeah.
we can't fulfill it.
Right.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think while you're in it, because I know you were like focusing on negative things, while you're in it, at least for me, I don't see it as I'm focusing on negative. Like if I'm focusing on failure or like the what ifs, I don't view it as negative. I view it as like preparation.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
But
yes.
that is also a trick of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? But while I'm in it, I just think like, no, like let me just prepare for every possible outcome.
Yes.
Or like, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like cover
oh my
all my bases.
Yes.
So yeah.
There's a really incredible book. I wish I had my phone so I could show it to you all and maybe I can reference it. But PT sent it to us early on in the year and it was called something along the lines of Originals. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what the title of that book is? But essentially there's a thought in the book and this is towards, I think the 12th chapter. And he's talking about how where you put your focus before you're about to do something. So say you're telling yourself this is preparation. There's something in the studies that they've done, because they've done studies of all these different great, you know, leaders and originals and people who have done trailblazing types of things. And they say that whenever you have this nervous energy or this feeling of like, oh my gosh, things could go wrong. Things could go, you know, this way or that way, that what you need to do in that moment is the energy, the feelings, the emotions are still going to be there, but you have to know how to channel it. You have to know how to focus it on something else that's going to be productive. So earlier, and this is in another episode that we filmed, but I said before I stepped up to do something, I told myself, I am excited. Mm-hmm. So now I'm focused on the fact that I'm excited. Yes, I'm feeling all these things. Yes, all this is happening in me. Yes, the nerves are there. And in my mind, I could think about all the possible outcomes. But if I throw myself so much so to the negative side, chances are my results are not going to be as good as they could be if I take what's already happening, what's inevitable, which is the nerves, the feelings, and I channel it towards, I'm excited. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm going to have something productive in this. And worst thing that could happen is I look stupid. Yeah. Or worst thing that could happen is I failed.
But yep. that's not even like, I think we also have to eliminate this idea of failure. Mm-hmm. Because once we eliminate the idea of failure, I think we can approach it from a place of my success is in me doing what God told me to do.
That's it.
Is that getting caught on camera? Should we stop? Or do we keep going?
Okay, cool.
Yeah. My focus needs to be on my success is in I'm doing what God said that I was supposed to do.
Right.
And even because God sees the fullness of that journey, and that journey might require and necessitate some hiccups. You know what I mean? Like, it actually might require, there are so many people that have failed their way to success, fallen their way into their dreams. Like, it might necessitate some developments, but if we're, you know, if we're focused on, you know, those hiccups and not focused on the path and not focused on where we're going, then that's when we can get trapped in our own minds and trapped in our own emotions and, you know, ultimately forfeit the very thing that we were starting. Right. And I think a lot of times too, this is kind of a separate thought, but like we... Because I resonated so deeply when you were like, you know, we're focusing on trying to, you know, prepare for the mistake. Like, let me, you know, what's going to catch me? You know what I mean? In case this doesn't go through. And the funny thing is I find myself in much more stressful situations when I am working on the plan B. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm working on the plan B, that's when I feel all, like, a lot of the tension and the stress, because it's like, okay, well, if I make my way here, then I could do this. And it's like, there's a lot of mental real estate and a lot of panic that goes into preparing for the plan B, when it's like, but girl, if plan A works out, you'll be fine. Stop stressing about plan B before plan B is even like a reality. You know what I mean? Like, if it needs to become a reality, let it, you know, focus on that then when it does become a reality. But right now, like, go for the goal. For the gold. Mm-hmm. I love that saying that says, what's it say? Like, shoot for the sky or aim for the sky, because even if you fall, you'll be amongst the stars. Mm-hmm. So like, don't limit your plans. Don't go for the plan A. You know what I mean? And go after it and attack it. Cause even if you fail, you're gonna fail high. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to, and I don't think failing high is a real failure. I think we should stop thinking of it as failure. I think we should start thinking of it as like course correction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so 100%. So yeah, take that stress off.
I would say,
go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think you have to rip up plan B. That's really hard for somebody to hear. But you have to rip up plan B, because if you have plan B and you're thinking about plan B while you're trying to go after plan A,
yes, bro.
You're always going to be a little less likely to take the risks that are necessary for plan A to actually be what it needs to be.
Right.
Most of the successful people that we read about or that we see about, whether it's Steve Jobs to whoever, they just kept going at the thing until they struck.
Yeah.
That you have to keep on striking, keep on hitting, keep on going. And if you just never quit, you will succeed.
Right.
Now you're going to have to make some plans and readjust and learn some lessons. But if you stay in the game and you stay focused on plan A, you're not going to fail. Yep. You will succeed at some point or another.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because I was pretty much going to say something similar. All I was going to say is, like, for plan A to work out, you got to give 100%. But that plan B, holding on to that, you're taking away from me.
Yeah.
You just got to like actually go all the way through it.
Yep.
And then it'll probably work. But you can't be like, you can't have one foot in and one foot out already.
Exactly.
We haven't even given it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say something else to what you said. Like, and Dad always talks about like defining success and defining failure.
Yeah.
If your definition of success is truly, did I do what God said? You literally can never fail.
Yeah. Right.
But oftentimes our success and our failures are always based on what is society saying.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have all these different comparisons, like, oh, if it didn't hit this mark, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But no, if I did what God said, how can I fail ever?
Ever.
Like, that's kind of has to be the reality.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done. But when you go from that lens, like, it will always give you the motivation to do it again, because it's not, I'm not going to say it's not hard to do what God said, but you know that it's possible to do it.
Right.
Versus
right.
if you're trying to reach this worldly standard, oftentimes those aren't even met anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There's a question I want to ask, but does anyone else want to add to what we were just talking about before I move on?
I'm ready.
Clear.
Okay. I like this one. So what is the difference between being busy and living a distracted life?
I wrote that question and I now that, hate that, question is that fire. I wrote that it's question. Fire.
I think sometimes the illusion of busyness is that it's productive.
Yes.
Because yeah. you could be busy but not productive. Mm. So the question is really, really great. Can you actually ask it again?
Yeah. What is the difference between being busy and living a distracted life?
Okay, that's really good. So being busy, I almost like I want to go back to what I just said. Sometimes being busy is a distraction from truly being productive. Mm. Sometimes that is the distraction. Sometimes the distraction is I'm so busy doing all these things that you're missing the one thing that you're supposed to be focused on. And we're talking about what it looks like to walk out what God is calling you to do. Mm. There are studies proven that multitasking, it doesn't profit you anything. Yeah. Multitasking actually takes away from the results of what you could produce if you were focused on a given task. So I would say, yes, I'm a busy person. I've got a lot of stuff on my plate. I've got a lot of things that I have to do. However, to say that I'm busy for the sake of being busy, if I don't look at what's making me busy and really analyze it, more often than not, I'm doing things that I probably shouldn't even be doing, but I'm busy. So I think the question should be, for me, I would make the question, how do you know that your busyness is actually productive? Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you guys you need to answer that, for me, it's like, I want to make sure that if I am busy, whatever I'm focused on, whatever my time is being spent on is actually producing me something that's going to profit me in some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
I want to go back to what you said earlier. You were saying that, I don't know if you said this. So I'm just going to restart. No, you did say something like this. You were saying that like your life should be governed by a word from God.
Yeah.
If these things that you are doing, the busyness, is not moving towards that word from God, then that's when it's a distraction.
Absolutely.
Because it might look like productivity. It might, you know, you have like the facade of like, oh yeah, I'm really getting after it. I'm grinding. But you're not moving towards a word from God. So it's not really doing anything for you. And matter of fact, it's just taking you farther away from that thing. So I feel like that's how you're going to know. Like, what is the fruit of those things that you're doing? Is it bringing you closer? Exactly. Are you moving towards your purpose? Is your baby leaping when you're doing these things?
Exactly.
Or is it just making you feel like better about yourself that you're doing something?
Yeah.
And I'm a victim of that. I'm not like, I will stand here and be honest. I be doing that a lot, you know, because it makes me feel like, it doesn't make me feel lazy. It makes me feel like I'm pursuing something. But I would rather, kind of like we were talking about in the last episode, be still and rest and have that be a part of what's moving me towards what God wants me to do versus having all these things that feel like something, but it's not really moving towards anything profitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
I think for me, for your question and the original question, I think how I'm starting to like see it as a distracted life for me is like I'm running away from something, if that makes sense, versus like being busy because my schedule's busy.
Right.
But so if I'm like choosing to not rest, it's because like I'm running away from sitting still in my thoughts, you know, or if it's like I am choosing to overwork or choosing to like work past the time where I know my body has told me not to, it's because like I don't want to, I'm either scared of failure or I don't want to feel the anxiety of the unknown, you know what I mean? So it's like, what am I running away from,
that's
I guess?
Good.
And then I've added in my morning devotions, like, God, make me productive today in whatever way you see fit. Because I'll wake up and be like, okay, if I do this off my list, I'm productive. You know what I mean? Or I'll be successful for the day. But I've started to even surrender my days to him. And it's like, God, like, however you see me successful today, however you see me productive today, like, that's how I want you to do it.
Yeah.
So that's also helped me like daily too.
I think one of the keys to living a focused life and being focused in pursuit of what God has called you to do, because someone out there is wondering like, well, I don't even know what it means to have like a word from God. Like, what does that mean? You have to first focus on getting to know God. Focus on spending time in the word, the written word that he's already given us with, 360 something books? I could be completely wrong. It might be 600 books. All I know is it's a lot of them. But he's already given you that. So where's your focus at? If you really are serious about wanting a word from God, I think you have to sit with the word of God.
For sure.
And then he'll begin to speak to you through relationship. Like if I'm doing a business deal with somebody, before they give me an assignment or before I give them an assignment, I want to know that whoever I'm working with, I can trust with the assignment that I'm about to give them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you can't expect that God's going to give you a word if he doesn't have a track record of trust with you,
right,
hearing what he has to say,
right,
or even valuing what it is that he wants to show you. Right. He says, I've already given you this book. So if you want to really hear an assignment from me and you want to hear what it is that I have for your life, open the book.
Yes.
Yeah. Or get in a community where they're going to constantly feed you from this book, mm-hmm, from this word that I've already given. And then, mm-hmm, God, because he's still speaking, God will speak to you and God will give you assignments. But yep, in order for you to have this word from God, you have to first have a relationship with the word. Yes. And the, mm-hmm, word is Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, you know, I think that that's a very foundational thing if we're talking about focus, is like, you know, if we want to do the God thing right and have focus for what God is calling us to do, you have to first have what Michaela mentioned, which is, I think that's one great way, is your daily devotional time. The time where you set aside to sit with God, to hear his voice, to focus on him, to meditate on him, to fix your mind and your eyes and your thoughts on things above, so that he can speak to you and give you this day your daily bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way that you lock in. Like, I think I talked about it in another episode, but yeah, that's how you lock in every day, is you making sure that you have, you know, your mind set on God and you're allowing the presence of God and the atmosphere of heaven to invade your space. And that's how you get your mind into the right place. I think that, you know, when it comes to, you know, words from God, I think, you know, when I was first talking about it, I was thinking about it in the context of purpose. And sometimes we can get caught up in that being like a thing, like a career or like a project or something that you have to do. But it can also be an internal development. You know what I mean? Like, if God gives you a word, it may not be, you know, go and produce movies or something like that, you know, but it could be the word for this season is get a therapist. Hey, you know what I mean? The word for this season is, you know, clear out those negative people from out of your life. And so I think that, you know, it's important to understand and realize that a word from God is not just conducive to, you know, an action that produces, you know, these like tangible results, but sometimes it is an inner working, and that can be the word from God for your life. I don't know why I went there. But just know that a word from God is, they're unlimited. And right, so once you find that word, grab that word, meditate on it daily, so that you can make sure that you're hitting that every single day. Cause yes, I think that's cause everything that you guys said, like I agree with, and I think that's it. And so to apply that practically, I would just say, make sure that when you are planning out your week, you know what I mean? And planning out your time and how you're going to spend each day, like, as you're looking at it, saying, am I creating time and space to allocate towards the things that God has called me to do on a daily basis? Now, you do need to have a Sabbath once a week. So on that day, yes, you just relax. We're working on that. Mm-hmm. We're working on that. Yeah. Because you got to have that. And that'll keep you in focus, by the way. That's what's going to keep the focus real and not you be going crazy. But I would say just make sure that when you're planning that you're creating space and practical time in your life. Because sometimes I think we get carried away because we just let the day take control of us, mm-hmm, and we don't take control of the day.
Right.
So, you know, and I think sometimes I'm good at doing that in my work schedule, but I need to be more productive in doing that in my personal time. Like writing out, okay, you need this amount of time to do this. You need this amount of time to do that. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm, yeah, I think practically just create a system for yourself and don't deviate from that system. It's just keeping that word, whatever it is that word is, at the front of your mind every single day. Because if you're not looking at it, you can't focus on it.
Yep.
That's one way to simplify becoming a more focused person is to break down the tasks into small things. Because God might be looking at you trying to see, are you going to manage the small thing before I trust you with the big thing? Are you going to be faithful in the little so that I can make you a ruler over much? So simplify it by breaking it down into the daily tasks. Put together a checklist. I literally, every morning after my devotional time is done, I grab a piece of paper with these little note cards I have with a checklist, and I write out the things that I know I need to do in that day. And every single time I check off one of those boxes, one, I feel like I can trust myself more, but two, I know that God is now trusting me with more because I'm stewarding what is in front of me in that day. I'm making sure that I'm managing the small tasks. So if you're just starting out on your focus journey and you're like, man, I really want to be more disciplined, I really want to be more focused, break it down into the simple, into the practical, and let it grow over time. And that'll help you become more focused.
Yeah,
for sure. And like, be open to the little, or like, be open mm-hmm. to, I love what you said about the words from God. Like, we think they have to be like this vast, like yeah. thing. And sometimes when you ignore like this, not the smaller words, but mm-hmm. you know, sometimes like I'll be overwhelmed. I'll be like, God, speak to me. He's like, go to the gym, move your body. I'm like, yeah. say something else. Like, that's not what I was thinking. But like, it's in those small things. Like, hey, that could actually help you reset. Yeah. And when you come back, you could be more focused on, you know, like your next, mm-hmm. you know, so sure. yeah, be open to mm-hmm. all that.
Yeah.
And there's something in the obedience of going to the gym and moving your body. Like that, not just the gym, but it could be anything yeah. because God is also concerned about the character. It's not right, just, oh, go right. accomplish what I said. Right. He's building the type of person that can accomplish right. that thing.
Exactly.
So it's the small yeses. Yo, go mm-hmm. pray for this person. Mm-hmm. Go, you know, go drink some water. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all not drinking water. And I'm like, yo,
direct to camera.
Right. Like, you know, and there's a specific person I want to point out, and you're going to know when you watch God. This. But like, just those little things, like those small little yeses, they, ooh, are you pointing at?
She's gonna get water.
I really wish sometimes we could yeah. do like the office type
yeah.
hand.
Yeah, no, we've been breaking the fourth wall like yeah. nobody's business.
Okay, there's one thing that I want to say before I move on, which is somewhat, it's related to what we're talking about, but not what we were just saying. Be careful with the thing that's motivating what you're focused on. Mm. You said something earlier about like, you know, oftentimes you'll be focusing out of like, or like because you're running away from something.
Right.
I feel like a lot of times we see people with a lot of ambition and a lot of drive. And, you know, you always hear like a person, like a rich person, let's say, they grew up with a family that didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
So what they focused on was, how do I make money? But right. it was out of fear and not right. out of like a purpose-driven mindset.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
will never be fulfilled by that. You right. will always be trying to look, because you'll run from fear all your life.
Yeah.
But you can be fulfilled by something when you have the right mindset about it. A person mm-hmm. that, you know, grew up in a family that was, you know, less fortunate, they're always driving and looking for success, but that's out of fear. That's
yeah.
not, there's not a real, like, hunger for it, like, in a pure state. Mm-hmm. There's always, mm-hmm. you're running from something.
Right.
So be careful with that. I would submit, like, why am I focused on this thing so much?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you feel a little off about it, just pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just, yeah. Think about the things that you're focused on and really look for, like, what is the reason that I'm doing it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Anybody want to add anything to that?
No, I was just going to say, do you want to do
it? It was just going to be an addition to Isaiah.
Yeah.
You want me to do that?
Because it was a strong point. Yeah, I was doing the same thing. Mm-hmm.
It's about your why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, mm-hmm.
yeah.
your why.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, I felt like we were playing ping pong yeah. a little bit here. But you need to have a strong why
yep.
for everything that you do. And determining a why doesn't have to be this crazy vast, like, oh, I want to do this because my why is that I'm going to change the world and revolutionize politics so that I can make sure that there's lasting change in society.
Yep.
was that one of your whys? You were very passionate and specific.
This was a previous why.
Yeah.
It can quite literally be, I want to do this because I want to be healthier and I want to live longer.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to be physically in better shape so that when I have kids, I don't have an issue holding them
yeah. mm-hmm.
for long periods of time if we're out in public and I need to do that. And that's a why. And these whys can be so simple. We don't have to make them so complicated. We can break them down to like, you know, why do I want to be a better financial steward? I want to be a better financial steward because I want to be able to know how to allocate my resources towards making sure that my wife has what she needs, making sure that, you know, we're covered in our home, making sure that we're covered in our daily dealings. So my why is because I want to make sure that my family is provided for, you know? Yeah. Why can't I go and buy that? Why? Because it's not a smart, if I have a strong why, I can size up every decision before I make it mm-hmm. with my why and say, does yes. that serve my why?
Yes. Mm.
If it doesn't serve my why, I probably shouldn't do it.
Right.
Or I should structure it in such a way to where I can justify it. But if I can't, then there's no reason I should be doing that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just pay attention to how you feel after you yeah. do things. Because I think that feelings will be a very strong indicator. And it's not to say you don't get tired, you know, serving God and pursuing God and doing things that are good for you. But I think that there is a sense of a settling You know what I mean? Like, in a sense of, you know, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. When you're not doing it from a place of, like, this panicked fear.
Yeah.
I feel like when you do it from a place of this panicked fear, even when you do it, like, you can't sleep at night because you're like, but it could be taken away from me. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, or, you know, but it wasn't good enough. But I could have done, you know what I mean? Like, and so, and you can even do good things, but if you have the wrong motivation in your heart, like, you have to make sure that you adjust that, because you don't want to continue to do good things and be just obliterated at the end of it. Because you're like, no, this messed with my heart.
Right.
This messed with my mind. Mm. You know, I lost all my friends. I lost all my hair.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to keep doing good things and be killing yourself. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what God wants. That's not what God wants for you. God wants you to do everything from a place of abundance, from a place of joy, from a place of this freedom of knowing that He's got my back at the end of the day. If he started it, he's going to finish it. If I fall, he's going to catch me. So, you know, I think that you can even be in the midst of doing something good and doing something that maybe even God told you to do, but you have to consistently check your heart and see, like, how am I feeling? How am I checking in? What am I feeling in my body? What is my, you know what I mean? Because the devil can still creep in even when you're doing God's business. So we've got to make sure that we are keeping our hearts centered in the right place. And if you're in a place of deficit, and like, that's not God. Yeah. Like, no, that's not what God wants for you, is to be in a space of deficit. He wants you to do great things from a place of strength and from a place of abundance.
Yes.
So
for sure.
Yeah, we just got to keep checking in our hearts.
And also, and also even when you're doing those good things, like, you have to evaluate, like, the timeline, because I would focus a lot on the timeline, like, if it doesn't get done in this amount of time, or, you know what I mean, like, that's failure, or maybe I should set it down, maybe I should move on. But that's like, the devil, I would say, like, the enemy is gonna rush, you know what I mean? God is always gonna want to take his time with it. So it's sometimes that sense of urgency takes a lot of our focus, even in a God thing or, like, a good thing.
Yeah.
And that's, like, that can also lead you to a spiral. Because if you have your own timelines and you're not meeting the goals, you're not meeting the quotas, it's like, oh, I'm failing, you know? Or, oh, it's not, this word that God gave me is not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I haven't evaluated the timeline or even surrendered that timeline.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
There's a very strong reason why you should be focused. And that reason is what the scripture says when it says, be sober, be vigilant, for your enemy prowls about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So there's a key in that. The key is that the Lord is instructing you to be of sober mind, clear mind, without distractions, without craziness, without influence on your mind, and be vigilant. Be locked in, be focused. Because if you're vigilant, you're locked in, you're focused, when God's trying to teach you and do things in your life, you will be less likely to miss it, because ultimately the enemy prowling around like a roaring lion is hoping that you miss it. Because if you miss it because of distraction, or because your mind is clouded, because you have influences that are, you know, I mean, even if sober-minded, you think about it, if you're drunk all the time, or if you're smoking weed all the time, you're not as clear as you could be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're really not. I mean, it might bring you a temporary peace, but you're not as clear as you could be. So that if something hits you, you're thrown off because you weren't clear. You weren't vigilant. You weren't focused. You weren't locked in. And God is trying to make sure that we're focused and locked in, so that when things do come, we're able to move quickly and make a step whenever we need to, because I was anticipating that the enemy was trying to come up against me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was anticipating that he was trying to distract me. I was anticipating that there was an attack coming at me, so that when it did come, I was more ready and agile to make a move when I needed to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We moving on.
Oh, yeah.
This is great. I'm really enjoying this.
Sober Mind should be a podcast episode.
Sober Mind?
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, I guess we're kind of, are we in the Sober Mind type?
We're in a little bit of, like, a Sober Mind bag. We're in a bag of Sober Mind.
We're doing part Sober Mind. There's lots to be uncovered about this topic.
Yeah.
First half of this question we've kind of already answered, but the second half I like. So when do you get distracted? We already kind of know that, especially, like, when you've got something that you're locked in on that you know is, like, the Lord. That's usually when the enemy's going to try to throw everything he has at you. But how do you get back on track?
That's a good place to land, too.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get back on track? I think that I'm trying to think of maybe what I've done, but also what's the best thing to do. I think that a lot of what we said have, a lot of what we previously have said, especially about checking your heart, is really, really helpful in those moments, checking in on how you feel, checking in on, you know, what is the fruit of what you're doing, so that you can recognize when you're distracted, because the hardest part about distraction is that you don't realize that you're distracted. Mm-hmm. So once you've realized that you're distracted, to be honest, this is hard, but it's a test of faith. I would shut down. Like, if you have like a 24-hour span of time, 48 would be even better. But I would honestly, I would shut down and I would start to evaluate my life. And I would start to evaluate what I'm prioritizing and what needs to be prioritized. Because you can't honestly, like, getting back to a place of focus is not like a, oh, I was distracted, now I can focus 5 minutes later. No, like, you have to actually be intentional about looking at your life and finding where, you know, where this wasted energy and wasted time has been going. So I would actually, like, if you can, I would stop for, like, just give it a good 24 hours. If you can do longer, sure, but give it a good 24 hours so that you can rest, you know what I mean, and come back to a space of God's got me. What did he say? What am I supposed to do? And then look at your life and see what needs to change. Mm-hmm. That's all I got for now. I probably have more, but that's all I got for now.
Yeah.
It's crazy when Ren said stop. I heard the song like, stop, collaborate, and listen.
Oh, yes. I wonder if Jalen can edit that in. Will we get copyrighted?
I don't think so. Not that. No, because I was
saying. Jalen, add that in.
But no, I would say that, you know, stopping is the first step. Because if you don't stop, if you don't come to a screeching halt, when you realize, especially when you realize that you're not in focus anymore and you are, you know, distracted, you need to stop. You need to pause. You need to take a moment to analyze. And the song lyrics are actually kind of funny. Stop, collaborate, and listen. I almost wonder if maybe there's something to it. Like, stop, collaborate, go into what God has said, go into what your why is, go into what you know you're supposed to be doing, and then listen again to God for the next instruction. Mm. I didn't mean to make that a clip, but no, I think that there's so much power in just stopping, analyzing what you already know to be true, your why, what God has already said, your anchor, the word, those types of things to get you back aligned and focused. And then listen for the next step so that when you take that step, you're not doing it randomly again and making the same mistake that you made the first time.
Exactly.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I was going to say something very similar to what you said.
You were going to sing that song and I stop, was. Collaborate, and listen.
I don't even know that.
I was. But I was just going to say, like, don't be afraid to put it down, like, yeah, for a little bit. Yeah. And I think I was in a situation with that recently where, like, I wasn't hearing God's voice. Like, I just felt not locked in, so many distractions, but I had to write and produce and do all these things. And I think the enemy was trying to, like, trick me. Like, if you put this down, you're going to lose it, mm-hmm, or you're going to miss, mm-hmm, it. And God was like, no, like, if you put this down for a second, like, I'll, yeah, be able to, you can focus on me and I can redirect you. So you, mm-hmm, can pick it up and it'll be lighter. You'll be more, like, locked in.
Right.
So yeah, like, just don't be afraid to, like, put it down, step away, because he has it, yeah, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
that's so good.
Yeah, I just say on, like, a more practical note, when you are, well, I'll say this: write down your why, so that, mm-hmm, everything that comes in your life, you can vet it out with that. Mm. So if it doesn't align with this, it is a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you gonna know that if you're, like, not, if you haven't really defined what your why is?
Right.
And then make adjustments. Like, I know, you know, it's easy for me to be on social media scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
But if I know that and that's a distraction for me, put a little timer on there. Like, yeah, don't just allow yourself to keep falling into the same, mm-hmm, thing.
Right.
A purpose-driven life, you are always going to be subjected to distractions.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to fight against it offensively.
Yeah.
It's not always, yeah, about waiting until, so, you've, like, lost so many hours scrolling, or, mm-hmm, you know, waited days to do what you were supposed to do. No, be offensive about,
mm-hmm,
it. Make sure you've got those, you know what, I'm not going to get on Instagram. Take the app off your phone.
Mm-hmm. Like,
you
got
to do
yourself.
Everything
Help.
Possible to not be distracted, mm-hmm, because, the enemy is... Prowling? Is
prowling
that
prowling about? Like a roaring lion.
Seeking.
That's so
who
cute.
He may devour. All right. That scripture right there shows that there is always going to be something against us. Mm-hmm. So be on the offensive with it. Be like, be serious about being focused. Don't just make it like, oh, I'll be focused today. Like sometimes I feel like it's interesting to me when I have a day where I'm just like, you know what? Let me just like really lock in today. That should be the normal though. That's a defensive tactic that should be very much so part of your daily routine. And we get relaxed with it because, you know, being focused is not always like the most glamorous thing. Like we like to just be kind of relaxed with our days. But that's, unfortunately, if you really are about this like purpose thing, that can't be your normal. Yeah. That can be comfortable, but let those kind the relaxed days, let that be a treat. Let that be the Sabbath. You know, and there's a way to even relax productively. And maybe we'll talk more about that one of these days. You know, but honestly, in this day and age, like being focused and locked in is the most important thing that we can do.
Yeah.
For real.
And I love the offensive part of it, because like prepare yourself for it. Like the armor of God is not optional. The armor of God is not something you should put on while you're on the battlefield being attacked. You know what I mean? It's like put yourself in that position, because you said, you know it's coming.
Right,
you know what I mean? So and you're not even waiting for it.
Yep.
You ready,
right,
but it's like you're just going about doing your business, but you're armored up, you're strapped up, like you're ready for it.
We need an episode on armor, God.
Honestly, we do. We did Fruits of the Spirit. You know, whether you've seen that already or whether you haven't, it's coming. But I think that there was something very specific in that. Be sober, be vigilant, for your enemy prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's God giving us a key to let you know there's always going to be an opposition waiting for you.
Yes.
So prepare yourself by what? By being sober-minded, by being focused, and by being vigilant, watchful. Because at any moment, the enemy will try to strike, and he'll try to do it by distracting you or by waiting until you're off your square. Because truth be told, the enemy's a punk. He comes when you least expect it because you're focused on something else. But when you're locked in on God, when you're locked in on God and you're fixed on things that are above, you're more ready for when the enemy tries to strike you. You're anticipating his right hook.
Love that.
Because you're already ready for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're already ready for it so that you can dodge that and hit him back with the uppercut.
Absolutely.
Maybe if we go MMA, you can give him the knee.
You going to give him the knee?
I like the knee. Straight for the tenders.
You got to give multiple knees sometimes.
You can give him one of those.
It could get crazy.
I'm probably broke.
Yeah, fight dirty.
I want to say one thing. I know we got to go. Do not expect a distraction to look like what you think a distraction looks like. The enemy comes as an angel of light.
That's so good.
So that relationship could be a distraction. Stepping on toes. I'm stepping on toes already.
Step on them.
It can be a distraction. That job opportunity could be a distraction. You just don't know. So
don't hurt them.
Vet everything out by that why statement. That's all I want to say.
That was so good. I'm so glad that you said that. I'm so glad that you said that. Because it's like, it is definitely when you least expect it. It's when you're tired. It's when you're hungry. It's when you are, you know, when you feel like you're at your
tired.
Top. That's when you should know that it's coming for you. What are you whispering?
I was repeating those for the people. I was saying tired.
Tired.
Hungry.
Hungry.
Lonely.
Lonely. What else?
That's when he comes.
Yep.
Did we say hangry?
Well, it's kind of the same. It's tired, hungry, lonely.
All of the things. Or when you're at your top. Or when you're at your top.
Oh, yeah. Remember the Kool-Aid man? Okay, I'm done. I've had too many cut-ups in this episode, y'all.
Hey, we enjoyed this. The people got to see us at our every state.
If you have a favorite cut-up moment from this episode or any episodes, make sure you comment them down below so that we can see and read the comments. We should have a whole episode of bloopers.
Oh, we have to.
Oh, it would be crazy.
I mean, I don't know about that. We'll have to see. But maybe.
Lastly, Ty, you mentioned a book earlier that Dad referenced to us. It's called Originals by Adam Grant. The subtitle is How Nonconformists Move the World.
Ooh.
Really, really good.
I suggest it.
How Nonconformists Move the World.
Yep.
So do not be conformed to the thought patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So be focused on what God is calling you to do. And that is how you can be a nonconformist to the world's patterns, to what the world thinks is right, to the rat race, to the trying to make it, trying to come up, trying to hustle up, trying to go to networking events so that you can meet all the right people and schmooze them. That really can only get you so far. And more often than not, you're compromising yourself to get into the next place. And then the butt you kiss is the butt that will be the one that can take
That's
you
disgusting.
off.
Yep.
Because then that one's responsible.
Ren didn't like that. Ren didn't like what you
butt,
said.
That butt's responsible for getting you to that place. That's not true. God. You want God to be responsible so absolutely. That no man can right. take you out from where God yeah. has placed you.
Mm-hmm. Right. For sure. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I feel like I need to say this.
Yes.
From this episode, don't focus on being focused.
Hmm.
Just like focus on God. And he will lock you into all those areas. Because I feel like someone could walk away from this and be like, okay, let me do it. And it's like, yeah. no, just, you know what I mean? Focus is not the focus. He's the focus.
Yeah.
Can I add a scripture to that?
Love it.
Yeah. Okay. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. It's Matthew 6:33. He's talking about focus. He's giving you a blueprint to where your focus should be. So in everything you do, if you want to add a why to it, let me give you a why statement. Does this advance the kingdom in some way, shape, or form in my life, in the people around me, in my job place, in whatever I do? Does this reflect the kingdom? Mm-hmm. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So his principles, his rules, his laws, what he has set in motion, and his righteousness, what is affirming in his sight, what he has said is acceptable in his sight. There's so many scriptures about this. Just takes a little study. Just takes a little focus.
A little seeking, find if it. You will.
Yeah, yes. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you.
Thank you, Bishop.
Pastor Pookie.
Yeah. Pastor Pookie.
Pastor Pookie is insane. Pastor Pookie is nuts.
This has been amazing. Yeah. This has actually been one of my favorite episodes. I feel like it is very needed. Yeah. I needed it. Yeah. And it's always fun talking to you guys.
Likewise.
Always.
Love y'all.
Check out the Discord. I know we always start with Discord. Discord is amazing. Yep. In the description below, we talk about all kinds of things. There's different categories that we can talk about different things in. There's updates when we do, you know, our Bible studies, our Go Nights. If y'all haven't been to those, they're amazing. They will be coming very soon. And did I get everything?
You hit everything.
Yes. Thank God.
Praise the Lord.
Love y'all. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Bye. Peace.